given to us. Jesus giving to us His kindness, His mercy, His righteousness. And God enables us by this new nature that He places in us to hate the rotten habit of sin. And that's what Peter tells us at the beginning of the chapter, that we will be laying aside all malice. We are His people, and we are precious in His sight. And so He says here that the world may not understand. We may be rejected by the world. The Apostle Peter is speaking to the Christians which were scattered all over Asia Minor, in Pontus, in Galatia, in Cappadocia, in Asia, in Bithynia. Peter tells them, and Peter writes to instruct them, to encourage them, that God is doing a great work in their lives. Do you know that God, who has begun a work in you when you first believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, is working through you to be a witness to Himself to the whole world? And He tells us to whom, verse 4 of our text, coming as a living stone, that refers to our Lord Jesus Christ, how He came and how He was disallowed. He was rejected. The chief priests, Israel at large, rejected their Messiah. But indeed, chosen of God and precious. When Jesus came upon earth, He had no form that attracted the men of the world. But He came in a lowly manner, born in a manger, as a suffering servant. He lived a life that was perfect. He lived a life that was exemplary of the character of God reaching out to sinful men. And He tells us how He personifies the meek and lowly nature of God. You see, that is totally different from the nature of men. Man is proud. Man is high-minded. But our Lord Jesus Christ is lowly. And He tells us that we are to take on such an attitude, take on such an understanding, so that we may be attuned, inclined to understand that we need God. As we look at life, well, we realize how weak we are. Peter tells us, before he speaks about the glory of the church as a temple, in verse 24 of chapter 1, he says, "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of men as a flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away." He tells us how the glories of this world just cannot stand the test of time. He tells us that we will lose hope if we put our hope upon this earthly life, this earthly body. Our convert in the morning, 1 year ago, came to know God. She said, "My body is getting weaker. And I said to her, do not be discouraged. I pray for you that your spirit will become stronger every week as you look to God, as you seek Him. His peace, His joy will come to you. The life of the living God will be in you, and you have the understanding of eternal things. You know that this life will soon fade away. This life will soon pass away. But there are the eternal things that will last. And these are the things that Peter is speaking about. He's imparting to us. Why does he tell us about the temple of God? That we are the temple of God, that together we form the temple of God. Because he's thinking of the worship in heaven. Our eternal destiny, that is where we all are going. And that is where we are preparing ourselves for. And he tells us how we make this preparation. Ye coming together, verse 5 says, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up sacrifices, spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now, we do not have to bring our animal sacrifices like what Israel did. But we come through Jesus Christ, who has offered for us once for all for sins. And the Lord tells us that in the New Testament, when we worship God, we worship Him, well, with our heart. We worship Him with our life. This whole being is a life of sacrifice, is a life of worship before God. And He is instructing us, He's saying to us, right, that you are that person. You are special. Right? You are a holy priesthood. God has made you special, and God has made you as a priest. Right? Peter is saying to us that every believer in the church is a priest. That we can offer sacrifices to God. Now, how do you understand about the offering of the priest? Well, because God has made the nation of Israel. And for us here, we have been spending time studying the book of Exodus. How God brought the nation of Israel to who they are when they began to take away all the idols, the false gods in their lives, and then they began to establish what is true worship. God made them to build the temple or the tabernacle, and there the instruments of the tabernacle, and appointed the priest. Right, the people will bring the sacrifices to the priest, and the priest would, well, offer this for sins. And he tells us that today, well, we are a royal priesthood. We are a holy people. Right? We are priests before God through Jesus Christ, and we can offer sacrifices to God through our prayers. For the people of God, for the world, each one of us special. You know that when you quietly pray to God in the name of Jesus Christ, your prayer goes all the way to the throne room of God in heaven, and God hears your prayer, and God answers your prayer. Well, Peter is saying to us that we are that special people, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So how are we faring? Have we been derelict in our offer of sacrifice before God. How is your heart? Is it cold? Or is it warm? Do you wake up this morning praising God for giving you a new day, giving you life, and then you go to the Word of God in the morning to read so that you may know what is the lesson that He has for you for this day, and then He prepares your heart as you pray to begin this new day? What is it that He wants me to do for Him this new day? Well, for the believer, each and every aspect of our lives, each and every event, each and every action, thought, is a worship to our living God. And we do this, well, that we, and in every way, our life may be acceptable to God. And so Peter says that you are lively stones. Right? Stones are supposed to be dead, but you are alive because you are that representative of God. And you know, when you think about the glory of God and His temple, you turn with me to Revelation chapter 21, and you would be able to see a picture, right, of the returning church that is raptured, coming upon the new heavens and the new earth. Revelation chapter 21, I describe for you here from the Word of God. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there were no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned unto her husband. And I heard a loud voice out of heaven say, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Well, it's a picture of the glory to come, that God would rebuild through us. And what is that reflection of the glory of God that is in us? Well, we may say that God wants us to grow in the grace and knowledge of Him. How can we grow in the grace and the knowledge of Him? Well, Peter tells us that we are to build our lives upon our Lord Jesus Christ, the living stone. And that's the thought for our meditation today. Two thoughts. Built upon the precious foundation of Christ, the living stone, verse 4, verse 6 to 8. And built a spiritual house together to offer spiritual sacrifices to God. We are to build upon a precious foundation of Christ, the living stone. Do you realize that when we are connected with our Lord Jesus Christ, we have life? When we abide in Him, there's a strength that He gives to us. Well, this is what John wrote. In John chapter 15, he tells us, abide in me, and I in you, our Lord Jesus says. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same shall bring forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Jesus Christ is that foundation stone. Jesus Christ is that foundation upon the church. And we are to abide in him. We are to keep close to him. And how can we know him? Well, we know him by imbibing his character, the character of Christ, for who he is. And this is what the Lord is imparting to us, right? That we would be a people that would offer up sacrifices that is well-pleasing in his sight. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 and 16. I shall read to you. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. And so, we don't offer animal sacrifices. But what is the sacrifice that we can offer to God? Our praise to him. Our love for him. Our devotion to him. That we will put him first. That when it is the Lord's day, I would be here in his house to worship him. I will be here to praise him. And in the workplace, well, I'll be doing my level best in all the tasks that God has given me to do as a sacrifice, as a praise to God. Continually. That the fruit of our lips give thanks to his name. So Peter tells us that we are his people. Build up a spiritual house to offer spiritual sacrifice to God through Jesus Christ. And Peter tells us that your worship of God is important. It is a witness to the world, because the world would reject the Christ. Verse 4, he tells us, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed of men. And further in verse 6 it says, wherefore it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth of him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of a corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. For those who reject Christ, to reject the ways of Christ, your presence is an offense to them. But for those who love God in Christ Jesus, our worship of God, well, God accepts and God receives. When our Lord Jesus Christ was upon earth and he went to the temple of God, he saw that the people were making merchandise in the temple. And what did Jesus do? Well, Jesus overturned the table of the money changer. He tells them that my house
is a house of prayer, not a den of thieves. There is a holiness, there is an order, there is a sacredness to the life of God's people. And Peter is saying to us that we are the special people of God, set apart, consecrated for Him, so that we can offer up a right sacrifice to God, acceptable, pleasing in His sight. And how can we do so? Not by our own understanding, not by our own ways. That is why we said to each one of us, take time to know the Word of God. We are reading through the Bible in 1 year. We would read a section of the Old Testament, a section of the New Testament, a section of the Psalms, a section of the Proverbs. Daily, daily, when we study the Word, when we look at the life of Christ, right, you would find that there is a life that Christ would impart to you. You would know the character of God, the character of Christ. You would know how to respond to life. And more, right, you put away your own ways, the fallenness, the fallen ways we would put away, and you would put on the ways of Christ. I recall reading in the Proverbs, the verse that says, wine is a mocker, and strong drink is raging. He that is deceived is not wise. Did I really understand it? Well, I was working and in a company whereby for social activities, we go out and drinking a beer is normal. Drinking wine or champagne, it's not so bad. But as you study scripture, as you read, you realize that, hey, this thing is intoxicating. It will make you, it will embarrass you. It will mock you. Well, at first, I don't really understand what that means. I think it's all right. Social drinking. You want to be in with everyone who is there. Why miss your promotion because, you know, you don't want to be a part of that, of the people who would, well, congregate on a Friday night or on a Saturday night. Well, I say to you that if you are the boss of a company, would you employ someone who is good in drinking? Well, you'll be very careful, right? You have your billion-dollar business. You don't want to entrust to someone who is not sober. You don't want to entrust it to someone who is not conscious. He's taking hold of himself. And so, yes, there are some attractive different types of drink. I had a friend bought a digestive. Very good if you have eaten a very heavy meal, but it's 40% alcohol. Well, after you get a conviction, what happens? Then you tell yourself, yeah, I understand what God is saying to me. And as a priest for God, I don't want to be drunken. I don't want to lose my reward when Jesus Christ comes. And therefore, one day, what I did was I took all the drinks and I just discard them. And never to turn back again. Well, I believe there are many testimonies from God's people of convictions in your life, in your heart. I believe that each one of us must understand who we are. A royal priesthood. A people that God has set apart as a witness for Him, not the world. And we have a role to a dying world, to a drunken world. And the Lord, through Peter, is saying to us that you are together become that witness. So, you know, for us to establish worship, we need someone to take care of the ushers, ushering. We need someone to take care of the PA. We need someone to take care, to ensure that there is food at the reception, at the fellowship table, when we all would adjourn. We need various persons to make sure that the weekly is printed, the weekly is folded, the hymn books are taken together so that it can be distributed to the people of God, so that we all can worship Him together, the people of God. Each one playing our part, sober, we gather together to praise the living and true God. And this is what Peter is saying to us we must do. They have disallowed the Savior. Jesus Christ is not allowed in Jerusalem. They have cast Him out, but we know that He is chosen of God and precious, and that we coming believing on Him shall not be confounded, meaning that when you take your last breath, you know absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. That is what we are talking about here. Not absent in the body and open your eyes in the flame of hellfire. And this is what we are speaking about. Eternal things. Heavenly things. Mind-boggling truths. Verse 7 says, "Unto you which believe, He is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense." Well, God, through Jesus Christ, has defeated Satan upon the cross. You know how the devil would cast a sneer upon our Lord. Right? The people said, "He's God. He's hung on the cross. You come, ask Him to come down. Ask Him to come down. Why He has that much power, why can't He come down?" Well, what was our Lord doing? Our Lord was bearing the sins of the world upon His shoulders. This was God's way by which sins can be atoned for. Sins can be forgiven. The blood sacrifice. Jesus was that sacrifice. And because of that sacrifice, His sacrifice formed the foundation of our faith. Because after He died upon the cross, 3 days later, He rose again from the dead, victorious over sin, over death, and over hell. And He is that foundation upon we build our lives. What a faith! What a joy! What a life that God has imparted to us, don't you feel happy that you have eternal life? That God has given you everlasting life? That this life that you have, well, not getting better, getting worse, right?
Yeah.
But we have a hope in heaven. That's why Peter began by speaking about the eternal inheritance. Because that is our blessed hope. That is our strength for life. May God grant us the grace to understand. And while we are here upon earth, we have a duty as the witnesses of God. Right? When the temple was built in Jerusalem, it was so glorious. All who saw, I realized that this is special. Your life too. Your life in Jesus Christ is special because God has imparted eternal life to you. And that you, having understood what is eternal life that God gives to you, is able to impart that life to the people around you by living out the life of Christ that is in you. How wonderful and precious it is. And it's totally different from the world. And the Lord tells us that we are to live out that life. And together, we form that spiritual house as living stones built upon the foundation stone of Christ. This is who we are. We take time to study the Word of God. We take time to know the will of God. And may the Lord use His people to be witnesses for Him to the ends of the earth. Jesus says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." This is the commission that we have received of the Lord. And this is the work that God has entrusted to us. We are that living organism for God upon earth. May each one of us fulfill our great grave responsibility before God, that His name may be honored, that His name may be highly exalted amongst us. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Your word, thank Thee for Your mercy, thank Thee for Your grace upon Your people. Help us to see and know that we are the temple of God. And Lord, help us to live lives, holy lives, befitting of Your calling. This I pray with thanksgiving, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.